grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, the 16th chapter of St. John, the 19th through the 22nd verses. Jesus said, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Although the world celebrates Easter for just one day, if it celebrates Easter at all, the Church continues to celebrate the Lord's resurrection for 40 days until the day of the Lord's ascension. And these 40 days have been called the Church's time of great joy. But the Gospel, which from ancient times has been read on this Sunday of the Easter season, and the Gospels, which will be read on the next four Sundays, take us back to the upper room in Jerusalem on the night when Jesus was betrayed into the hands of his enemies. Gathered with him were the 12 disciples he'd chosen, and they were clearly anxious and bewildered by all that was taking place. And it was in that anxious atmosphere that Jesus spoke the words we heard in the Gospel, "A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me." These words of Jesus, the disciples were greatly puzzled, and no doubt in whispered tones asked one another what this could possibly mean. What does he mean by a little while? We don't know what he's talking about. And Jesus replies, "Is this what you're asking yourselves? What I mean by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me?" Then Jesus goes on to say, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." And then he uses the illustration of a woman sorrowful in the pangs of childbirth, but then when the child is born, she forgets her anguish because of her joy in the birth of her child. Jesus says, "So also you will have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." And so, like a woman suffering the pangs of childbirth, the disciples were filled with sorrow and anguish as Jesus was betrayed into the hands of his enemies, unjustly condemned and crucified. All their hopes were ended. But then on the evening of that first Easter day, he appears to them saying, "Peace be with you," and shows them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Fulfilled were Jesus' words, "I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. But if we know the scriptures and all that's been handed down to us about the lives of those 12 disciples, we know that, like their Lord, the disciples continued to drink deeply of the cup of sorrow. Like him, they were persecuted and rejected. Like him, they were condemned as impostors. And like him, with the exception of St. John, they were put to death. So what then does Jesus mean when he says to them, "No one will take your joy from you"? Clearly, it's not joy as the world understands joy. Jesus had taught his disciples to understand his suffering and death in the light of a woman suffering pangs of childbirth. The pain and the danger are real, but the outcome is the joy of a new life. And this is what the disciples experienced during those 3 days of Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Day. But that experience didn't end there. For when sorrow and suffering came into their lives, they were able to see their suffering not as death throes, but as the birth pangs of new life. And so even in their suffering, they knew a joy which this world can neither give nor take away. And their joy is a participation in the joy of Jesus himself. Jesus plainly said to them, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full." And so this joy depends on Christ, and on Christ only, come what may. It seems to me that we see this truth, this reality, most clearly in the lives of those Christians who suffer in a way that you and I can scarcely imagine, who not only live in unimaginable poverty and deprivation, but even suffer outright persecution. And yet they seem to radiate a joy which puts us to shame. But isn't this the way it's always been in the long centuries of the church's life, especially in the witness of the holy martyrs? The word martyr simply means witness. And when we hear the stories of the martyrs, the note of joy is unmistakably there. So, just a few examples that come to mind. There is Sir Thomas More, who once served as Chancellor of England under the tyrant King Henry VIII, saying to the men who just condemned him to death, "Pray for me as I will for you, that we may all hereafter merrily meet in heaven. Pray for me as I will for you, that we may all hereafter merrily meet in heaven." Or we think of a Russian Christian in Soviet times saying to his executioners, "I salute you dead men, I go to the living." And then there is young Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer welcoming his death at the hands of the Nazis as the Queen of Feasts on the road to eternal freedom. The Queen of Feasts on the road to eternal freedom. And all of these martyrs were following in the footsteps of the first martyr, St. Stephen, who cried out, "I see the heavens open and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And so we see that the joy of which our Lord speaks is not to be confused with worldly happiness, which depends on circumstances. This joy depends on Christ and Christ only. It depends on seeing our own personal sorrows and the sorrows of the church by schisms rent asunder, by heresy distressed, not as death throes, but as birth pangs, the birth pangs of the new creation when the risen Lord will appear in glory and make all things new. Then that word, once spoken on the night before he suffered, will be perfectly fulfilled. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.